But first, it's that time of the year again.
I think we should refer to it as the late Sean McConnell always called it, "Are you going to the ploughing?"
I mean, the scale of this event has to be seen to be believed. 125 acres of exhibit space, 700 acres in total when you count in the car parking and the ploughing field.
Every year you encounter people who are making something, producing something. There's a great sense of real Irishness to it.
I think the first tractor arrived on the scene in the late 1940s, and since then, of course, it has grown to an extraordinary height, something beyond our expectations, really.
And all roads lead back to Rathenisca in County Leash from Tuesday to Thursday next, where 60,000 cups of tea will be sold every day. 16 ton of Irish beef will be consumed by in excess of 200,000 visitors to the ploughing. Suzanne Campbell will be one of them. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
The ploughing seems to be getting bigger and bigger. Is it just our imagination?
I don't know. It is getting bigger and bigger. It's tremendously popular. Do you know what? I think it's become into the broader populace a more known event rather than just a rural event. And I think part of that is RTE's presence down there, an awful lot of media presence, and a bigger engagement from people, I think, in urban areas into the farming and food sector. People are curious about the ploughing. If you haven't gone, how can we explain it? It's Europe's biggest outdoor event. It is an enormous trade show, over 1,300 exhibitors. You'll find everything from pottery to homewares, to slatted sheds, to drainage systems, veterinary products, coats for your dog, coats for your husband, boots for you. Everything is at the ploughing. You'll meet all your friends from all around the country. I'll have a cup of tea with you. I'll meet you there for a coffee. And it's busy, busy, busy. It's social. And for kids, I think it's fantastic. There's lots of kind of active stuff, if you like, animals running around, like the sheepdog trials, the pony club games, the hunt chases. And there's lovely, lovely animals on exhibit. If you actually want to see animals, there's a lovely, lovely, the breed sections.
Yeah,
you know,
great place to lose a child as well for
absolutely,
an hour or two.
Absolutely.
So write your number on the back of their hand, I think.
Put their number on their your mobile number on their forehead and you'll be fine. You know, you'll have
but a great time. You've gone back to the traditions of it this week.
Yeah, I mean, at the heart of the ploughing, and you kind of do forget this when you're down there, is, you know, if you look over the trade stands and there's a lovely, you know, piece of land all prepared and ready to be tilled on one side, not just a piece of land, quite a few hectares, that's where the main activity is going on. And you have to understand, and it is phenomenal, that this is an amateur society event. It's quite extraordinary that this is run by an association called, of course, we all know the National Ploughing Association. It's really an event which grows around the judging of individuals in tractor ploughing and horse ploughing. Now, I went almost back to the beginning and I chased down the King family, who are kind of legends in the horse ploughing domain. Jerry King won his 11th title horse ploughing last year. His two sons also won titles. Now, he kind of said to me, if he wins this year, he will just pip the man who has also 11 titles, so he might hang up his boots, but I kind of don't believe that. So anyway, I went up to him and first of all he told me how he began ploughing with horses.
I've been ploughing now for 22 years in the National Ploughing Championships, but I've been ploughing with horses for 25, 26 years.
And how did you get into it? Were horses part of farming when you were growing up, or were they being phased out?
Well, there were part of farming when I was just a boy, but then they were phased out when my father bought a tractor, and then it was more or less, I suppose, a bit of nostalgia that brought me back into the horses. Something about it, when you yoke a team of horses, you will always think of the people who walked before you.
That's a lovely way to think of it. Are you happy that your sons are ploughing now and that it's a family tradition that has kept going?
Well, I suppose as long as there's a team of horses around and they like to get involved, they've won a few national titles as well. But I really think myself that maybe when I retire, that the tractor might come in.
Because the horses are so much more work, aren't they?
Well, I don't think that the family will have the time. Mm-hmm. Because time seems to be getting scarcer and scarcer for this kind of a hobby.
Love the accent there. What sort of preparation goes into these final few days, Suzanne?
Well, it's interesting. This was totally new to me. what they do is that the horses will be ploughing their competition. In fact, they're doing 3 days, the Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday of next week. And what he was doing when I went up to him is he puts an hour a day, 20 days before the first day of competition. And what he does is he attaches them to a sleigh, a kind of a metal platform that runs along the grass. He puts weights onto the sleigh and this is his way of fitting up the horses.
Yeah, we have the sleigh attached now, and the sleigh itself weighs about 500 weight, quarter ton, and then there's about 200 or 300 weight of rocks on it, and there's a weight in there that weighs another 100 weight, and I keep on throwing them stones on until I've got a good load on them, and that strengthens them up.
So, because the plough will be digging in and showing resistance, so they've got to be able to pull this sleigh before they get a plough on.
Oh yeah, this puts a very steady pull on them and gives them a great chance to build a muscle, mm-hmm. yeah, and get fit. Up, one. Steady, boy, steady. Ah, they're going nicely now.
You know, it's tough on them. Their head's down, they're driving forward, aren't they? I can see the load in their hocks there at the back. They're having to pull quite hard.
Yeah, and they're moving the legs very slowly.
Now, you're going to turn.
Yeah, come here, boy, come here. To the left is come here. So they're turning nicely there now as a pair.
Now, if they came from France, how do they know that come here is to the left? Do you teach them that, or how does that work?
Well, I was told to say a gauche to the left.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying it right, because they have a different way of saying it. A gauche is to the left and dr is to the right. And when I want him to back you up, I say anahia. Then I drop the anahia after a year. So I think they're pretty well used to my own language now.
So they've learned English now rather than French, haven't they?
They have a little bit of French I know and a little bit of English they know.
It all works.
For you, okay. Yeah.
French with a loud accent.
It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. The pair of horses he uses are French draft. They're really lovely. And if you're down at the ploughing, go down to the horse ploughing section. You'll see them a mile away. They're on our Orty website. Bright chestnut in colour, flaxen manes and tail. They're the colour of an early conquer. They're absolutely beautiful. Very unusual horses in Ireland. So they have this loud French way of going. And you'll hear Jerry shouting at them. It's absolutely brilliant.
A gauche. And you're down there yourself?
I'm down there on the Thursday. I'll be in the NDC tent, which is actually called the NDC Dome. It's very, mm-hmm. very glam this year. Doing some cookery demonstrations with Phelan Byrne and legendary Kilkenny hurler Eddie Brennan. And you're down there as well, aren't you?
Yes, there on Tuesday, mm-hmm. at the NDC tent as well at 2 o'clock, I think, with the Carney brothers.
Oh, okay.
Bringing all the good looking
lads.
There'll
be a lot of ladies in that tent.